Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. I'm Jordan Parhar, and I am your host of this podcast in which we talk Big Brother 17 each and every week on robiswebsite.com. And this week, we are joined by, unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties. John Party was supposed to join us this week, but unfortunately, he's in the process of moving and his internet is acting up. So he is not going to be able to make the show. Hopefully, he'll be able to join us next week or sometime in the future. So instead, we've got two guys who are pinch hitting for me. I really do appreciate it very much. The first is a man who... Actually, you know what? Honestly, they're both, I was going to say the greatest of all time, but they're both the greatest of all time. Alex and Taryn, thank you so much for joining me today. They are your live feed correspondents on robhaswebsite.com. They're always doing an excellent job, and today they're here to join me. So, Alex, Taryn, thank you for joining me very much. I'm glad you're here to join me, and you're getting a little bit of a break from being on Rob's show, and you get to come over to the B team. So, welcome. I hope you have a good time, and how the hell are you guys doing?
Great. It's always great to talk to Jordan.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here, man. This is cool. You know, I've been doing the Rob show, and that's got its own vibe and feel. So I'm excited to sit down and talk to Big Brother with you here.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. And Alex and Taryn, I haven't seen you guys collaborate on the same show before together. I know you've done that on Big Brother Canada. So it's cool to have you guys both together. We're having the Sunday and Wednesday episode sort of collide. Brent Walgamau is going to be here as well tonight, but unfortunately he has work, so he cannot join us. So we've only got two of the live feed correspondents, but that's okay. Alex and Taryn are going to do a great job as always, and I'm sure of that. So today what we're going to do is we're going to recap Big Brother 17 this past week, everything that's gone down into one nice little package for you. And we're going to take your questions live. So if you want to tweet us, you can use the hashtag RHAP and maybe you'll get your question answered on the show. We will also be taking questions via YouTube. So if you want to leave a comment on the YouTube video as well, that would be awesome. And subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups on YouTube so that way you don't ever miss an episode of the Big Brother Happy Hour. And hopefully you'll be able to see John Party next week or in the future when he does come on the show. Okay, guys. So as always, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the television show first, and then we're going to get into the live feeds, which you guys are experts on. So I'm really pumped to have you guys here because normally I talk about the live feeds and I don't know as much about what's going on compared to what you guys know what's going on because you guys are constantly on that. So really excited to get into this. So guys, let's backtrack a little bit here. So we had the Sunday episode in which we saw the aftermath of the double eviction. Steve takes out Jackie, and a lot of people are criticizing Steve on social media for not making a big move per se, and that it wasn't really the boldest thing to do in the world. And people were not really sure of what was going on there. But then later we saw in that same episode, Steve forms this Scamper Squad Alliance that really is just the remnants of the Freaks and Geeks Alliance, which has been in existence for a few weeks now, but hasn't really made it to the television show. Guys, Taryn, I'll throw this to you. When you're in a situation like Steve, in which you're sort of on the bottom and you're in his spot where he's not really with anybody, is it better to, if you take the approach of if you can't beat him, join him? Or is it better to, take a shot at the Oz twins or Vanessa in his scenario? Do you think he made the right move by playing it safe?
I do think he made the right move. You can't take a shot like that unless you've done a lot of preparation work and you know where you're going to land. And he did not plan on winning that HOH, so he had done none of that preparation work. And I actually thought he was quick on his feet and he thought up a good reason to evict Jackie because he had heard that she was going to backdoor him and he could use that information and pretend that he got manipulated like he did. And he pretty much got away with it completely clean. So I think he did a really good job, actually.
Alex, what do you think about that? And do you think that if he was going to take a shot, do you think that there's anything he could have done? Could he have gone? Did he have the relationships to potentially build some sort of trust and alliance with the goblin sort of side of the house? Or do you think that no? Or are you with Taryn and thinking that no, there was no chance? And if he were to have made a big move like that, he would have gone out the door just like Becky did this past week?
I think it's tough. Ultimately, I do agree with Taryn because I think he was in a position where he didn't have any enemies. And the smartest thing to do in that spot is to stay in an area where you haven't made any enemies, which is what he did. He had safety in numbers, at least for the time. He had some things he was working on the side with Johnny Mac and Becky at that time. So he felt like he was in a place where he had deals with the Austin side, deals with John and Becky, but it was James and Meg that he really had never laid any groundwork with, that he really felt like there was no basis there, at least from a game perspective. I know we've seen Steve and James like hanging, you know, but that's there's no strategy elements to that, really.
Well, and speaking of the Steve and James showmance that we saw on the show, there's been a lot of filler this week that I've seen. And this was talked a lot about on Rob as a podcast this week. We saw the whole, the Steve and James showmance. We saw the whole packet from home of Steve's family. We saw James playing pranks on people. We saw Liz with that black stuff on her face that she was ripping off. And Taryn, Alex, do you know what that was? What the hell was that?
I have no, I'm guessing it's some kind of face mask, but I've never seen anything like that. I kind of want to try it though. Is that weird? I'm kind of sick like that, I guess. We'll find out what that is.
We just found out Alex's fetish.
Yes, we did. Ooh, okay, Alex.
It just seemed like the skin was like baby smooth when she peeled it off. I don't know. I'm just curious, I guess.
It was almost, it looked like, I mean, it was like she was getting a wax on her face, but there's no hair there. So
it was like taking the top layer of skin or something. Yeah, I'm very curious.
I don't know. Taryn, do you have any ideas? Like, to me, that looked like hockey tape that she had in her face and she was just like ripping it off. Like, ugh, like why do that to yourself? She already has beautiful skin from what I can see, right?
Well, maybe that's why. So she uses that thing.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Taryn Armstrong, breaking news. Liz has good skin because she puts black stuff on her face and rips it off every week. Okay. Now we know her secret. Jeez. Okay.
Maybe it's witchcraft. Do we think?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah, because I saw that and I was just like, what the hell is that? And she was just like, oh my god, don't rip my eyebrows off, and just doing all this stuff. And I just thought, what's going on here? So anyway, we saw that. And another thing we saw was we saw Austin and James talk about the Titanic. And James is telling us that the Titanic is the greatest movie of all time. Now, do you guys think that's true? Is the Titanic the greatest movie of all time, Taryn?
Oh, no. I mean, no.
No. Alex, what do you think? Well,
where's my taboo buzzer?
All right. So what is the greatest movie of all time then, guys?
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. Part of the Vengeance trilogy by
Vengeance. I have never seen
Park
Chan-wook. I don't know that either.
You may have seen Old Boy, which is part of the trilogy.
I do know about that.
Okay, yes. Interesting. So,
Taryn, hitting us with the indies right now.
I'm a film major.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Taryn's a film guy.
There we go. That makes sense. Okay. Alex, do you have anything out there that you want to put out there?
Man, I have so many movies I like. What did I see recently that was good? I like Jurassic World. That was really good.
Jurassic World is really good. I think I would probably say I really like 500 Days of Summer. That's one of my personal favorites. I know it's not the greatest movie of all time, but Empire Strikes Back, I don't think you can go wrong with that. So it'll be interesting. Comment on the website what you think your favorite, what the greatest movie of all time is. And Taryn, what's the name of that movie again? Because I want to check this out. This sounds interesting.
Me too.
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is the first movie in the, it's a trilogy. They're not related by story, but by theme, which is revenge.
By revenge. Okay. Yes. Gotta love revenge, especially something that we see a lot in Big Brother. So definitely we'll check that out. Taryn knows his stuff. Okay. Another big theme from this week that we also saw, guys, was this Johnny Mac versus Vanessa thing. And we haven't really seen this too much in the diary room. We've seen Johnny Mac a little bit earlier on in the season talk about how he doesn't really – Vanessa – oh, here's Vanessa again crying. And we saw it again this week, and he talked about how Vanessa was really getting on his nerves. We saw that scene where he is saying to Vanessa that she is a bully and – or he felt like he was being bullied with the whole Clay and James mishap. And I heard that there was a little bit more to this on the feeds as we saw Vanessa run up to the HOH room and talk about that. Now, Alex, Taryn, I don't know, whoever wants to go ahead, I'm fine with that. Well, Alex, let's throw it to you. What exactly happened there when Vanessa went up to the HOH room? She started talking smack about Johnny Mac right away to the Oz twins, but she was saying more than we saw on the show, correct?
I think that's right. I want to say, Taryn, that was like Saturday or Sunday, right? You probably remember better than I would because that was your those your days.
That was Taryn's Taryn's night, Sunday.
She went up there. She was very heated with Johnny Mac. She was saying that he was out of control. He was yelling at her. She was afraid that he was going to get violent. She was afraid that he was going to come attack her in the night. And he listens to rock, to like heavy metal rock music. So that means that he's dangerous. And
completely asinine from Vanessa. I mean, I guess it's part of her strategy, I guess, to kind of like twist things. But it's just at the same time, completely unnecessary. That's just for me. That's just shades of Sabrina from Big Brother Canada 2 saying that Micah shoved her down the stairs when walked by her and it was nothing. So I don't really like when that happens. But going back to this whole Johnny Mac doesn't like Vanessa thing, we saw that this week because Johnny Mac was so adamant on getting rid of Vanessa, it became apparent that he hated her more than Becky did. And that's kind of why he stayed instead of her. Has Johnny Mac done a good job since this whole bully gate thing of convincing Vanessa that he's on good terms with her? Or has he been a little bit, not the kindest towards her? And has Vanessa been able to see through that, Taryn?
He's been nicer to her. They've been amiable. But he hasn't gone out of his way to, kind of make deals with her or talk game with her at all, which is what she wants out of him. And so as long as he's not giving her that, she's always going to think, I can't work with this guy.
So Alex, do you think that if Vanessa is to come into power in anytime soon, and we didn't see the winner of this HOH competition, if Vanessa were to win HOH, would she be gunning for Johnny Mac, or has he done enough to convince her, hey, I'm not really going to come after you, it's okay?
No, I think she'd come after Johnny Mac. And the simple reason is that everyone else is, at least to her face, playing along. And Johnny Mac is the one guy who, I mean, and it may just speak to, he might be the one person who really does see through her game, and everyone else is still giving her a bit of the benefit of the doubt, to be perfectly honest, which is insane from our perspective, of course. But man, I mean, she's got a phenomenal vocabulary. Like you said, she knows, I mean, she's willing to stoop wherever she needs to stoop in terms of rhetoric to kind of get her point across, to really drive home that this person can't be trusted or this person is an enemy. And it's been very effective. So yeah, Johnny's the one person who's really, really, A, onto it, and B, not gonna like give her what she wants. So it's great to see from a fan perspective. From a gamer's perspective, he might do better if he was just kind of like playing along a little more.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you brought up about Vanessa, and something that she really excels at. And that is, meeting people where they're at. And this is something that, believe it or not, the great coach Ben Wade said once in an interview I heard on the Dom and Colin podcast, in which he was talking about all three of his times on Survivor. And one of the pieces of advice that he gave for anybody to go out there playing was that you need to meet people where they're at. You need to talk to people on their level. Everybody's a little bit different. If you're talking to Rancher Rick, that's a little bit different than when you're talking to Cochran, for example. And if you don't watch Survivor or Survivor Style specific, you probably don't understand that reference. But again, you can translate it to the house. If you're talking to Steve, it's much different than if you're talking to an Austin. Both people are completely different, and you can't really approach things the exact same way with the same person. So I think that's something that is really underrated that Vanessa does, and is part of the reason why she's been able to get this far in the game despite being in hot water a few times. Although we'll see how she manages to survive going forward down the stretch. We'll talk about that a little bit more later here. And let's fast forward a little bit though to the nomination. So Liz puts up Becky and Johnny Mac on the block, and at the POV ceremony, Liz receives a house guest choice, and she chooses Austin instead of Julia. And Julia is visibly upset, and she's not happy on the television show in the diary room. Taryn, was she really upset about this on the live feeds, or was this one of those things that was sort of played up for the show and was not really that big of a deal?
I don't think it was that big of a deal. I don't even remember seeing much of it. I don't think we even saw what we saw on the show on the live feeds, because it was probably over by the time the feeds came back.
Okay, because yeah, I saw that and I was just a little bit concerned about that, because if you don't get picked in the POV competition, that's a good thing most times, especially in this situation. Am I wrong, Alex?
Yeah, you know, I think this just speaks to the fact that Julia spent like the first half of the game, you know, partially out of the house, and she just wants to play in something. She, you know, even when they saved themselves in the Battle of the Block, it was Liz playing. It was Liz and pretty much all the head of household competitions. So I think Julia's just tired of sitting on the sidelines, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, and she got herself all pretty.
Yeah, she wants to be an A-plus player here. She's tired of being in the background.
Sisters before misters. Oh my God. Yeah, no, I feel Julia, though, as somebody who was in there, played the game, really wanted to do something and kind of had 4 weeks in which I didn't really have to do anything. I made an incredibly stupid error because I just wanted to play the game. And I feel like Julia could end up being in a situation like that if she's not careful. So, yeah, I definitely think that's a thing, getting there halfway through the game and not getting to fully play it as herself, wanting to play in these competitions. Now, ultimately, Liz is the one who wins this power veto competition. And while debating on what to do, the group of the Oz twins, they discuss what they want to do with this power veto, which on the it's shown on the show, but it really wasn't that big of a discussion, was it, Alex?
I mean, you know, to the extent that the dialogue really got started this week on Vanessa's, you know, everything Vanessa has been saying is starting to catch up with her. It started with Becky going upstairs and just dropping everything she had. It continued with Johnny Mac doing the same. And then, you know, while I don't think, you know, the nominations were ever there, they were never really in doubt. They were never really going to change. The dialogue was started that wasn't there before among Austin and the twins, where is Vanessa really the person we want to take to the fore? And if not, when are we going to make a move against her? So that was changed. But in terms of actual changes, it's just laying groundwork for now.
Now, Taryn, Liz compared Vanessa to Audrey. She said she was Audrey-like. Is this a fair statement, or is this kind of overblowing things? You've been watching a lot more feeds than I have, so you would know.
Emotionally, I can see the comparison. I think Vanessa may have actually taken some of Audrey's mannerisms as far as how she confronts people, the way she goes about it. But the way that they play the game, Vanessa's basically playing the game that Audrey probably wanted to play, but wasn't quite capable of playing. So, I mean, the comparison is definitely there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because when I first heard that, I thought, oh, that's insane. Why would anybody say that? But then when you think about it, I mean, it's not exactly right. But again, I see where it's coming from, and it's very interesting. And if you listen to the Audrey podcast on Rob as a podcast, when she was on with Clay, excellent episode. I definitely recommend you checking it out if you haven't already. Audrey even mentioned herself that some of her lying techniques that she was using, she noticed that Vanessa does the same. So it's interesting to see that that little comparison there, and how things worked out for Audrey, and now how things are working out for Vanessa, and how deep she's got into this game. We also saw this week a makeout session between Austin and Liz, which are becoming a lot more prevalent on the live feeds. They weren't really a thing before, but now it seems that Liz is actually into Austin. And we had the whole finger gate scenario, which went down. Now, I didn't really witness this for myself. Alex, did you see what happened with this whole finger gate situation? And is this confirmed that this happened?
From my personal experience, I will say that it certainly looked like what it looked like.
And Taryn, you want to weigh in?
What do you say about that?
Yeah, I can second that. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that it happened. And, you know, that doesn't really please a lot of people, but, you know, it's how it goes.
It happens. And
it's
Austin
a long summer, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very long summer, especially for these guys. I mean, Ian Terry was saying it last night that they're on day 64 or whatever it is. Most Big Brother seasons are starting to wind down at this point. These guys have a month left. So I don't blame them at all. And I think it's unfair that they're getting criticized and all that stuff. But hey, that's the nature of Big Brother fans. They're going to do that kind of stuff. But if you are listening to this show and you are a fan of Rob Has a Podcast, please don't be one of those assholes that just rips them after the season, because Austin, Liz, they're going to get enough hate as is. So seriously, leave them alone. I want to throw up the meme of the leave Britney alone crying thing. I don't know if you guys remember that little blast from the past. But one question I did have for you guys, though, was, has there been any aftermath in the house over this? Has anybody brought this up at all? Have Austin and Liz told Julia, or is this sort of just been kept under wraps?
Yeah, a secret right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would really love. I think people would pay money to see Julia's reaction.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Julia was freaking out about the hickey. Yep. You imagine?
Yes, right. And that was Julia's reactions are great. She's so funny. I love Julia. She's awesome. And she's like just so mad and just like appalled and disgusted. And she says that Austin is definitely not the type of guy you would bring home to your mom and dad. Now, this is a little harsh, is it not, Taryn?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, harsh, but maybe a little bit accurate, you know.
I mean, she could do worse, right, Alex? I mean, she could bring Chicken George home or someone like that, right?
I think it speaks to the stereotype, right? The shirtless, inked up, hairy guy. You know, it's like that's not the guy you like bring home as like a legitimate prospect, all right? That's more like the guy you take home, like to your home, and then never call again.
No, but he studied the history of romantic literature, right? So shouldn't he get a pass?
Well, yeah, he does have a background in, you know, medieval romance literature, and that's interesting. But he also was going on about the princess in his castle waiting back home, and I don't know so much if that, you know, I think maybe Bowser's moved her to another castle at this point.
Oh, that Bowser moving the princess every single time you think you're there, and she's not.
Is Jeff the Bowser?
Jeff. Or Jace. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I guess, or maybe is, that's interesting. I guess maybe one of them is Bowser and one of them is Bowser Jr. or one of the Koopa kids, I guess. Then. That would be interesting. If someone could get a Photoshop of that up, that would be hilarious.
I like where we're going with this analogy.
Yeah.
So Austin did talk a lot about having a dream that Jeff was chasing the two of them around LA. So, I mean,
oh man, that's awesome. Okay, so if anybody out there has great Photoshop skills, if you want to make a Photoshop of a large Jeff as Bowser and Jace as Bowser Jr., I think that would be hilarious. I'm just throwing that out there. I think that would be pretty funny. All right. So ultimately, at the end of the day, as Beast Mode Cowboy would say, Becky is the one that is evicted by a vote of 6-0. We didn't really have a ton of campaigning on either anyone's part. Now, Johnny Mac manages to survive here despite throwing the power veto competition and using the dead fish strategy, as he calls it, for campaigning, which means sit around, don't do nothing, just lay around and good things will happen. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, there was this really, really dumb guy on Big Brother Canada 3, and he did the exact same thing and is now remembered as one of the worst players of all time. Now, do you guys think that this throwing the veto thing, is that a viable strategy, or was it ultimately worth it for Johnny Mac? Is this going to buy him enough favor going forward, or is this completely inexcusable?
Big Brother's tough, huh, Jordan?
It's a tough game.
I think throwing the veto can be a viable strategy. I mean, we saw Dan do it, and
right.
I mean,
that's what that guy in Big Brother Canada 3 was thinking.
Just don't automatically think that you can replicate Dan's gameplay, and you'll probably be okay.
And I talked about it a little this week, and I think this is like the only scenario where you maybe get away with it, right? When you've got someone up against you who everyone is clear, like it would be way too elaborate a plan for them to be all pulling the wool over Johnny Mac. Like he's got to feel like this is Becky's the target. Like, there was nothing to indicate anything else. And then Becky was also not doing anything visible to change anything and didn't seem like she had the skills to do it. So I think maybe if there's ever a scenario where you can get away with it, this is it. But would I do it? Mm-mm. The thing I don't trust it after seeing what we've seen, man. So thank you for setting the precedent.
the thing I didn't like about this throw was that I didn't see the point of it. Basically, it's fine if he says he's going to throw it because that gets him some trust with Austin. But you know, at the end of the day, go and win it. They already know you're a competition threat. You're not tricking anyone. The best you can get out of it is some loyalty from people, which probably isn't going to lay out for you anyway. So just say you're going to throw it and then get to the end and try and win it. And if you try and win it and still don't win it, say, oh yeah, I was just trying to make a good show.
Yeah, I agree with you, Taryn. And I think that, you know, it's a little bit, especially in this scenario for Johnny Mac, because this was a veto competition he easily could have won. This wasn't something that it was out of the realm of possibility for him to pull out a veto win. Whereas in that situation for that guy in Big Brother Canada 3, he was in a spot in which he had no chance of winning that veto. So he wanted to make good TV because, hey, we like good TV, and he threw it. So I don't really understand why Johnny did it. I mean, I guess I get it that house makes you do some crazy things and he felt like he could buy him some favor. I just feel like it was definitely the wrong move in his spot because, yeah, he easily could have won that competition. Otev is not the toughest comp to win. I mean, hey, we saw Liz win this thing and she's not the big, I mean, well, I guess now she's got a few comp wins under her belt, but she hasn't really proven herself to be the biggest comp threat there is. And now what do you guys think about this notion that people say on social media that because Johnny Mac threw the veto, he deserves to go home, he deserved to lose, and that Becky should have stayed over him? Do you guys buy into that, or are you guys sort of like, yeah, I don't really agree with that notion? Alex, what do you think about that?
I like to say, one of my favorite lines is, if I had wheels, I'd be a wagon. And to me, that just means like, okay, well, you know, you can put that on the top of Mount should be, if that's where you want to put it. But at the end of the day, deserves is irrelevant in Big Brother. What happens is what happens, you know, actions dictate outcomes. And, you know, what should have happened or what you think was right to happen amounts to nothing at the end.
Taryn, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of see where they're coming from, only they're more exaggerated than I would be. You know, if I see somebody make a big mistake, I usually want to see them pay for it. If, for example, in that situation when that person threw the veto, I didn't want you to pay for the mistake, actually. I wanted Zach to pay for his mistake of leaving you up on the block when he absolutely shouldn't have in the first place. I was waiting all season for him to pay for that mistake. And so I can see where they're coming from. But to say like, oh, you deserve to go home because of one thing, you know, there's a lot of different actions that people take in the game, and throwing one competition or making one mistake shouldn't be, you know, a reason that you're like, oh, this person has to go home and the other person deserves it more than them because of that. So, I mean, Becky made way her fair share of mistakes. So
I gotta love the train wreck, Becky. But yeah, I'm with you guys 100%. I think one of the most annoying things for me as a fan is when not only house guests go out there and say, oh, well, this person deserves this, or I deserve this, or we're the good guys, or whatever. It's also when there's fans out there and they say that, oh, well, this person doesn't deserve to do this and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter what people did. You know, who deserves what? Like Alex said, it's a game and it doesn't matter who deserves anything. You're out there playing Big Brother. It doesn't matter. Johnny Mac wants to throw the veto. It's a big risk, but he doesn't necessarily deserve to go home. And I hope he manages to go deep in this game and, hey, maybe win this thing and prove that you can, just like Dan and Big Brother 10, throw the power veto competition, which is incredibly risky, and win. So that maybe some future Big Brother Canada or Big Brother US house guest out there will make the exact same mistake that dude did from Big Brother Canada 3 and goes home as a result of it. And I will be at home watching it. It'll be very fun for me. okay. One last thing before we get into live feeds and we'll have you guys break down everything. I want to talk about, just backtrack a little bit, talk about this emoji competition that we had for HOH. I liked it in that it was different. It was something we've never seen before, but I think that that quite possibly could have been the one of the worst competitions we have ever seen. Taryn, have you seen a worst competition or worst competition than that? Or is that up there in the conversation for worst of all time?
I think theme wise, it was definitely up there for worst of all time. The competition itself, like it was, you know, getting like trying to figure out patterns and figure out like I don't mind that. I think it's a good competition, and I think it's one that you can play from home too. You can try and find the thing they're looking for. But using emojis is just like, come on, like you don't need to do that. It was actually, if anybody watches The Genius, it actually reminded me of the Gulehap game that they played in The Genius season finale, where you're looking for patterns. It was way more simplified, though. So if they could make it more complicated and lose the emoji thing, I think it would be pretty cool. But, you know, drop the emojis. We don't need emojis. We're
no fine emojis, with silly costumes.
We're fine with silly costumes, but we don't need the emojis.
And Alex, what do you think?
Butter. We don't need butter either. So
yeah, I hated it. Butter. Alec Beal was tweeted during that episode. He said, "Congratulations to anybody who continued to watch this episode of Big Brother 17 after the butter competition, because that was so annoying." Alex, what do you think about that? What was worse, the emojis or butter?
Man, you really give me a really, really friendly choice there. I don't know. Neither's particularly high on my list. I think the problem with the emojis is, like you said, I mean, a little original, yes, but we've done matching games before. So in a sense, it's not super original. You know, the only original part is the emojis, which is, like, you know, the part that kind of sucks to me. So, like, in that sense, you know, I didn't love this competition. But for me, the worst competition we have to come back to, and it technically was a luxury competition, drink this red cup of Gronks and see if you got a cruise. That's a bad competition, folks.
I blinked and missed that competition.
That's lazy comp making.
Oh man, that was great. Wasn't that awesome? Don't you guys miss the BB takeover? Oh, wasn't that great? That was a great time in our lives. I'm holding out hope that when somebody comes back into the game, we're going to have one last BB takeover and Jeff Probst is going to show up and he's going to say, "Hey guys, guess what? This fall, Survivor Second Chances is now is going to be airing this season, and now one of you is going to be getting a second chance and come back into the house." But I don't really think we're going to get that because Julie kind of spoiled to the house guests already that someone's coming back. So, but yeah, the BB takeover, not the greatest. And yeah, I'm just trying to quickly off the top of my head think of worse competitions than that. I think production wise, there were some pretty weak ones early on in the very early stages of Big Brother. If you go back to Big Brother 2, although now those are so bad that they're good. The one with the little RC car in Big Brother 2. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
that
What about the one where they folded laundry and like ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
There was like that one. And then there's another one too. I think like they're just in the backyard and they don't even have the booths. I think they just have like paddles and Julie's asking them questions and they just hold up a paddle. Distinctly remember Boogie out there. And it's just like, what's going on here? Or how they used to pick HOH was great too. When they had that little wheel and they would just spin it or whatever.
I wish that would be the first HOH every year, to be honest, because that was like a first impressions game that really made you like cut to the core and make like point blank reads on people and decisions about like who's the most vindictive. You're like, "Oh, I just met these people yesterday. You, I guess." Like that really sets the game off on a tone that I would love to see that again. Really would.
I agree. Be amazing. I love those comps. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Taryn, I think it was just Big Brother 2 and Big Brother 3 that did that, right?
Yeah, I don't remember it being on any other season.
Yeah, so I think that if you're listening to Allison Grodner, which we absolutely know Allison Grodner loves the Big Brother Happy Hour. Yes, a very prestigious show. Definitely bring back those because those are great. And yeah, for first impressions, those are huge. As somebody who's played in the game and been in that house, it's throwing a competition like that at the house guests right away is a really, really good way to kick things off. And to bouncing all over the place, but before we get into live feeds and the questions, Taryn mentioned The Genius. You guys should definitely check that show out if you haven't already. I've only seen a few episodes, but from what I have seen, it's excellent. So if you love strategy and you love Big Brother, Survivor, that sort of thing, definitely recommend you checking out The Genius. There's some great coverage of that over at the Dom and Colin podcast. So highly, highly recommend it. I haven't really had much time to get through myself, but that's something that's definitely on my to-do list.
It's the best show of all time, just saying.
Yeah, it's a great show. Alex, have you seen it at all?
Yeah, I just finally caught up. I've been working on it for a few months, and yeah, I'm finally caught up. I'm loving it. It's really, really great. Very cerebral. Very fun.
Incredibly cerebral. More, I think, more so than any show that I've seen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, definitely check that out. If you like Big Brother, you like that kind of stuff, and you don't necessarily like the emojis and the butter and that all sort of nonsense, The Genius is for you. So definitely check that stuff out. You can tweet me if you want to get a link to that or something, and I'll send that your way. Okay. Live feeds. Let's get into it, guys. So I do not have the live feed song that Rob has, and I do not have Rob's taboo buzzer on tap. So I'm just going to go like this and hit the table. That's a pretty cool sound. And we're going to go into live feed discussion. So, Alex, tell us, who has won Head of Household?
All right. So, yeah, we saw the competition last night. It was actually a new one. It was a little bit of, speed, actually, which is not a skill that's usually tested in head of household competitions. We often talk about how big, strapping, athletic guys are not made for Big Brother. And this competition kind of goes against the grain when that's concerned. So that's interesting to see. And indeed, the guy whose stride is, like a third of the length of the field, Austin managed to pull it out. Although he only beat James in the last heat by, a total photo finish. I had to go back, watch replays to make sure that it was indeed Austin who hit that button first, because that was really close.
Now, that would have been really interesting had they named Austin HOH and then they said,
Houska, sorry, we have a correction. James is your new head of household.
That would have been funny if they did something like that. But alas, Austin is the new head of household. And Taryn, did Austin get an HOH letter from his girlfriend back home?
No, but Liz was a little bit afraid that he would. She was like, I hope you don't get a letter from you know who. Yeah.
She who must not be named.
Yes. That would be such good TV if that happened. Oh my gosh, I would die to watch that. But oh man, that would be great.
We're gonna see Zingbot come in, and if they did it to Christine, they've got to do it to Austin. So
oh yeah, 100%. And that was great too on the show last night. Watching the Daniel Murphy zing again. My goodness, that is probably my favorite ever. That is so funny, and I love Daniel Murphy's great, but that is just so funny. The restraining order, man. Big Brother 14. That was a great time. Okay. So there was some talk last night. Austin said pretty quickly after he won that he should not have won that HOH. Taryn, is he still regretting his head of household? And what was the decision he ultimately came to with his nominations?
It's been a pretty crazy 24 or so hours. He did regret it. He said he wanted to throw it to James, but in the moment he just felt like, if I can get the power, I should. You never know what's going to happen. But the way that he set himself up last week was just so bad. He had deals with every single person, and everybody thinks that they're in alliance with him. So you really got to take the risk at that point, or don't bother setting yourself up that way. So he had a lot of trouble. His initial thoughts were, let me put up Steve and Johnny Mac. We'll send Johnny Mac home and try and keep everyone happy. Definitely not going to go put up Meg and James because he trusts them a lot. Then it flipped back and forth about 50 times, not an exaggeration, between, well, maybe I should put Vanessa and Johnny Mac up. Maybe I should put Vanessa and Steve up. Well, no, maybe I should put Vanessa and no, can't put Meg up. Vanessa and Steve. No, Steve and Johnny Mac. And it was basically, it came down to a battle between Steve and Vanessa. They were going back and forth. Austin would talk to Vanessa and she'd convince him, no, you got to go Steve and Johnny Mac. He'd talk to Steve and he'd convince him, no, I got to go Steve and Vanessa. Or, I got to go Johnny Mac and Vanessa. And it came down to the wire. She happened to be the last person to talk to him. And she finally got it out of him that he's upset about this James threw the bat of the block lie. She came clean. She apologized. She said, listen, guys, I have no one. I have no ties with anybody. It would be stupid for you guys to take me out because I only have you guys and I'm a single person. So that ultimately changed his mind, and he went with Steve and Johnny Mac. They're on the block. Johnny Mac is currently the target, but could flip at any moment.
Wow. Okay. So Vanessa, again, using an evil dick tactic, waiting till the 11th hour to talk to the HOH before the nominations, and manages to survive. Alex, this is incredibly impressive stuff that Vanessa keeps getting herself out of these situations. Do you think that putting Steve and Johnny Mac up on the block is the right move for Austin this week based on what you've seen and what you've been hearing? Or do you think he should be going after Vanessa?
Well, I do feel like going after Vanessa is a short-sighted move for him, because while, you know, it's almost like why Vanessa wanted to turn on him, you know, dishonesty sucks in the game. It sucks when you feel like someone you trust has lied to you. At the same time, I mean, I kind of, you know, I remember how you were kind of half in Zach's camp and half in Kevin's camp until you were ready to come clean to Kevin. You know, sometimes that's just how the game plays out. And at a point when you're ready to kind of come fully clean and be full disclosure, the other person's best interest is to, you know, be accepting in that moment and stuff. So I think it really is an example of, you know, yeah, I mean, he set himself up. He had deals, you know, with the James and Meg side and with the Steve and Johnny Mac side. And I think the biggest thing was that him and James were the last two in the comp and made a deal, reaffirmed a deal right then, where James looked at him and said, you know, know me and Meg, know you and the twins. And he was like, yeah. So he felt like because that deal was made right before he won HOH, that going back on that is a really bad, like a red flag on his game. Steve had a great argument in that James did the exact same thing to Clay and Shelley, but Austin retorted with, I believe that's going to be the downfall of Clay, of James's game. And I don't want the same thing to happen to me. And that's a fair point. I think, you know, Austin's going to have to, at this point, he's going to have to alienate either Steve and Johnny Mac or James and Meg. And it really just comes down to preference at that point, I think.
Yeah, I think that what he did was good in that he, because he set himself up like a Zach Olenek or a Jordan Parhar in Big Brother Canada 3. He's aligned himself with everybody. Last week we saw in the episode last night, it's the Oz twins, Johnny Mac and Steve. It's Brass Tacks. It's Austin's Angels. Literally, there's no one left. So yep. He's got to pick one. So I like that he did that. And I agree with you. I think keeping Vanessa in the game is a smart move, especially because somebody's going to be coming back into this game. And we saw on the Jury House segment last night that Shelly and Jackie are not happy with Vanessa. They are not pleased with her. Becky said after her interview with Julie that, oh, well, I'd be open to working with Vanessa, you know, or maybe I'll go after Liz. But I'm sure that once, as somebody who's lived in the Jury House, once you get into one of those environments in which it's so, all you can do is talk about the game all the time. It's very toxic if two people are anti a certain or feeling negative towards a certain person. It's one of those things that it just grows. And if Jackie and Shelly plant that seed within Becky, she's going to start thinking the same thing. And if they go back into the game, I feel like Vanessa is probably in hot water and Austin and the twins are going to be just fine. If they get rid of Vanessa, however, then if one of those people goes back in the game, Austin and the twins are clearly the biggest target, right, Taryn?
Oh, absolutely. Keeping Vanessa should have been a no-brainer. Where they've gone wrong, though, is honestly, either decision that they made this week, I think they're going to be in trouble next week, because they have talked so much crap about Vanessa the past 2 weeks now, flirting with backdooring her, putting her on the block, sending her home, exposing, like every time they talk to Vanessa, they go right to everybody else and say everything she said to them. So it's going to be very easy to turn Vanessa on the on Austin and the twins when the time comes. So I think they're in a dangerous position for next week. Keeping Vanessa is definitely their best move because of the fact that she's a target ahead of them that people potentially will go for. I'm not convinced that they will, though, just based on the fact that there's going to be three people and they just won three competitions in a row. Who knows what will happen with the veto? So they're going to be an intimidating presence. I think they've made a lot of mistakes these last 2 weeks. Keeping Vanessa, though, is their only move at this point, because they have to hope that she will be targeted ahead of them. And then they can hopefully go into the final six or final seven with at least three people and have some sort of shot of making it to the end.
That wouldn't that be something if the Oz Twins make it to Final Six intact? That would be nuts, but it'll be fun to watch. I hope. I mean, part of me wants to see it, part of me doesn't. But regardless, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm along for the ride. This has been a really good season so far, and I'm excited to see in which direction it goes in. Alex, if Johnny Mac manages to win the power veto, who do you think would go up as a replacement nominee, and would Steve automatically become the target?
Steve would not be the target. And I think a lot of this speaks to, you know, last night, it seemed for a while last night like things were going to, like it was going to be Vanessa and Johnny Mac. And I think a lot of that was, you know, I was talking about Austin, you know, he was upstairs like doing his Khal Drogo thing. Just he had a bottle of red wine. His shirt was off. He had his Khaleesi over here. He's just like doing his whole thing. And he was really buddying up with Steve, like pulling him in for hugs and stuff. And really, it sounds like he wants to take Steve to the fore. At least it did at that point over Vanessa. Like him and the twins would rather, I think they at least feel safer about Steve. However, Steve was giving a lot of pushback about being a pawn. And when Austin kind of sobered up today and he was a little less bullish on Steve, I think this morning when he woke up and wasn't feeling so handsy. But I guess, what it really comes down to is just the simple fact that, Steve and Johnny Mac, and especially Steve, was really making a push last night to get them to do something that probably wasn't in their best interest. And I think Austin's just smart enough to realize what's in his best interest.
Yeah,
he's got some game.
Steve definitely deserves a lot of credit. He absolutely had intimidated Austin at one point today into completely putting Vanessa straight up on the block and targeting her, which would have been terrible for Austin, the twins. So he definitely deserves a lot of credit for that. However, if somebody gets taken down, we're not sure what's going to happen. Austin has said he might have to backdoor James at that point, or he might just go after Vanessa. So that's going to make the week exciting. If somebody wins veto, it's going to go down.
Oh, man. You know, we want to see Johnny Mac Saturday when the feeds come back. We want to see our boy J Mac with that veto around his neck. That would be awesome, because then, yeah, Austin has to choose whether he wants to go after James or Meg, or if he wants to go after Vanessa and just take her out. It'll be fun to watch either way. And the greatest thing I think would be awesome would be, it would be great if James were to go, let's say he takes a big shot, Johnny Mac wins the veto and he backdoors James, and then James wins the buyback, comes right back in the house and wins Had a Household. He has an angry Johnny Mac, he has Meg, and he has himself, and they all go after the Austins. Maybe use the information they have and flip Vanessa onto their side. It would be really exciting going down the stretch to see that. I think that would be outstanding. Now, Taryn, who would you most like to see of the people we have seen evicted, Becky, Jackie, and Shelly, who would make it the most interesting if they were to come back into the house next week?
It depends. If James leaves, I think James coming back would probably be best. Johnny Mac, you know, I love Johnny Mac, but I don't think he's going to do much other than go after Vanessa if he comes back. So, honestly, depending on how Becky comes, I have not been a fan of Becky, but if she comes back and she's honestly willing to put aside any vendettas she has with Vanessa or whoever, and is willing to jump in the fray and work with who she needs to, she could definitely be a force coming back. I think Shelly's too far removed from the game at this point, and Jackie's just going to buddy up with James and Meg, and that's not going to be very exciting. So I think Becky or whoever is evicted this week would be a good to return. But I don't want anyone to return. Let me just say that. I hate buybacks. I don't want to see any of it at all.
Yeah, I don't like Redemption Island either. It's not the it's not the greatest. Alex, I believe I was listening to your episode last night with Ian at the gym this morning, and you said Jackie is who you would like to see, correct?
I went with Shelly.
Oh, you went with Shelly. Okay.
And I think part of that was also that the other two had already been taken. So, you know, I think it really speaks well to this season that we can, you know, have such diverse opinion that it's not so like, okay, Derek and then the Fields. You know what I mean? It's like, this is really, really a great season. And Eric Stein talked about it. I referenced it again when me and Rob talked this morning. Maybe not everyone is playing the way you want them to play. Everyone is for sure playing this game. It's awesome. I love it. I'm a little more bullish on Shelly than I think Taryn is, just because I do feel like she really wants to play this game. I do agree she's a bit removed, but I think it would be interesting to see her come back because I do feel like she really wants to be there. So I'm willing to entertain the idea that Shelly would come back and give us some good, like, wouldn't just turn right around and go back out.
Yeah, I'm with you, Alex. I think that Shelly was really good at the game, and she definitely has some skill, especially for the competitions as well. And we keep seeing these endurance comps over and over and over again. And we know that means good news for Shelly if she does return. So I think, like you said, though, the beauty of the season is anybody could come back and stir things up, and it's going to be very fun to watch. Whereas a year ago, we were in this exact same spot, and honestly, I remember that episode in which it was Jocasta. Was it Jocasta, Zach, Hayden, and Nicole? They were all competing to come back in the house. I skipped that episode. I watched it like 3 days later because I just didn't really care, because I figured, you know what? Derek's going to win this season at this point. Somebody coming back is not going to make a difference. And sure enough, it didn't. So
I think Hayden could have shook some things up if he came.
Hayden could have with comps, I think. But the rest of it, I mean, I was watching it and I saw Jocasta had a chance to come in. I thought, yeah. Oh no, Jocasta. I love Mama J, but in terms of stirring things up, I was like, she's not really going
to
do
too
much.
She had to settle for a mouth kiss with Nicole instead.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. That was interesting.
I will say, I do think that if Shelly comes back, I think she can do very well. I don't see anybody, especially if Vanessa's still in the game, I don't think anybody's going to target her right off the bat. It'll either be Vanessa or Austin and the twins. And I think Shelly, I always said she was very good socially. If she can learn a little bit from her mistakes strategically, I think she can do really well. I hate buybacks, and the fact that she got to skip three evictions, I wouldn't want to see her.
Yeah, I don't like the buybacks, yeah. But if it can make good TV, then why not, bro? Right? Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Okay, let's get into some of your questions here. So if you have been following along, you can tweet us your questions using the hashtag RHAP. You can also leave a comment on the YouTube video as well. Okay. First question, Jonathan asks, what's Austin's position going to be at the end of this week? Still room to play, or praying him and the twins win out? This is an interesting question. Taryn, Austin's obviously going to survive this week. He's the head of household. The twins are going to remain intact. But is he going to be in a spot in which he needs to win out at the end of this week, or does he still have some wiggle room for him to make some things happen?
I do think he's going to be in a spot where he has to win out, and he's almost starting to recognize that. Last night he said at one point, you know what, screw it, I'll just get out Vanessa, and who cares if people are coming after us, we'll just have to win competitions. It's way too early to do that, though. They've peaked too early. They've won all these competitions, but there's still a whole month left. There's still, you know what, six or seven people left to get out. You can't start winning out at that point. I think they'd be lucky if they were able to make it through next week without winning a competition. After next week, it's open season. They will go out if they don't win. Guaranteed.
That will be interesting to watch. I'm excited. We've been waiting a while for somebody to take a shot at these guys. Nobody has yet. And when it does come, well, winter is coming, if you want to make another Game of Thrones reference. It's coming. We don't know when, but it's going to be soon, and it's going to be good when it happens. Okay, Joel N. wants to know, do you guys feel like John is overrated? He doesn't really do much in the house and doesn't have much strategy. It seems like he has given up a little bit based on what we've seen. Alex, do you feel that John is overrated, and does it seem like he has given up a little bit?
I've been a pretty big Johnny Mac supporter this season, just because I do see moments on the feeds where he clearly understands the nuances of the game, where he picks up on things that other people don't necessarily pick up on. The dead fish thing, I mean, that's a strategy and a viable one to, you know, just disappear, right? That being said, like, yes, last night it was Steve who I thought, if anyone had flipped the switch and was playing like a different person altogether, it was Steve. I mean, to listen to that guy talk last night, that's not the same guy you're listening to talk to himself in the house. It's just not the same guy. And that was really cool to watch. Johnny Mac, like, you know, everyone's waiting for him to flip a similar kind of switch, and I just don't think it's going to come at this point. I think this is Johnny Mac. You know, he's a goofy, fun-loving, honest, like straight up entertaining guy who is very intelligent, gets the game, And a lot of these competitions are going to be geared to him. So, you know, maybe the duplicity and the, you know, the things that we were hoping that maybe like the Dan Gieson qualities, maybe that's just not his skill set. But that doesn't mean he can't do some damage in this game, because, I mean, personally, we know for a fact Zingbot is the veto this week. You know, I mean, from my perspective, Zingbot's usually, you know, it's like some kind of tube maze or something. It involves a little bit of physicality and a lot of like analytical kind of, you know, to me, there's three people who emerge as front runners for that. And it's Johnny Mac, Steve, and Vanessa in some order.
Which are the three craziest people to win. So,
Yeah.
I think if the Vegas odds were to come out for Johnny Mac winning this veto, I think it's got to be 2-1. I think that he's got, I think if it is one of those type of comps, as we found out already, it's going to be Zingbot. He's got a really good shot of winning this thing. Taryn, what do you have to say about that?
You know, about Johnny Mac, you know, I hate to like just always make comparisons to past seasons, but I really sort of see him at this point as this season's Donnie, you know, very lovable. He has a great read on the house, but he's very fixated on the person that's been running things, and it's kind of blinding him to what's around him. And he's not making enough moves with the other people in the house to advance his game.
Taryn, as far as I'm concerned, you can take a hack.
Well, why did you use Skittles? Why can't we just do it normal style?
Exactly. It's Donnie with the Skittles and Johnny Mac with the, I hate when you cry and yell at people and then they go home. Like,
you're bullied.
Hey, that was really good, Alex.
Yeah, that was a good one, Johnny Mac.
I've been working on my
That's really all you need to do. And if you want to work on your Johnny Mac impression, go to Instagram, follow Big Brother Canada, and they just posted a video yesterday of just a loop of Johnny Mac laughing over and over again. And it's only, I think the actual him laughing is maybe a second long. So it's just, and it's just like, it gets very annoying very quickly. But if you want to learn how to do the impression, probably a good place to start.
Yeah, I watched a loop of Meg hitting her head yesterday for like 10 minutes. So, you know, man, I'm on board.
So oh, that was so great. Poor Meg.
I do want to say, Meg, I think they've done a great job with the editing this season. They did have to put a lot of filler in this week because the feeds were really slow, but the segments that they did put in, they were well put together. They were pretty funny to watch. And, you know, just Meg's DR cutting off right as she smacks her face on the OTEV thing.
Genius.
Was just perfect. So, you know, props to the editors.
Yeah. I don't think the producers or anything have really changed that much, right? But the editing this season, I agree with you, Taryn, it's been really strong. We've seen a shift to a lot of these cold opens coming out of commercials where Steve is playing with the ironing board or he's talking to the camera or just some very random things. But it's really the way they put it together. It flows very nicely and it's great because Big Brother's awesome for the strategy and everything, but it's also great to see the characters and the development of them and the goofy things they do. And seeing the whole Steve and James showmats, yeah, that was great. And we see all these other various things. I think it's been awesome. I'm with you 100%. The kudos to the editors. They're doing an excellent job.
They should hire me, by the way.
Yeah, seriously, hire Taryn Armstrong.
I'd do a great job of matching their quality.
Yeah, I watched, actually, Taryn, I watched your video to audition to be a live feed correspondent for RobHasAWebsite.com.
It's impressive.
That was very good. That was some good stuff. You had the whole Big Brother Canada, the pointing at the thing like that we had to do before for preseason. I thought that was excellent. So, yeah, definitely. I would say to Allison Gardner and company to hire you, but I really like talking to you and having you as an live feed correspondent, Taryn. So maybe just Gardner and Co. hold off for a little bit until I stop listening to Rob Has a Podcast, which will probably be never. So, yeah, actually, maybe on second thought, don't hire Taryn. Okay. Big Bear Will says, now that Austin has not nominated Vanessa up front, what is the likelihood of him backdooring her? He often complains about her to everyone in the house, but still keeps switching the target from her to J-Mac or even James. Now, we talked about this a little bit, so I'll just ask you guys percentage-wise. Alex, what do you think if Johnny Mac wins the veto, what do you think the percent chance is that Austin decides to go through and backdoor Vanessa?
Well, unfortunately, the only times in the last 24 hours that I felt like, man, he's really going to do this were when Austin was all red wind up. So unless short of a second bottle being sent his way, I think the odds are pretty low. I'll put it like, I mean, you know, there's always the chance that like something else blows up. So I'll put it like maybe 15% just because Vanessa is capable of shooting herself in the foot.
Yeah. Here's the thing, because Austin really, really, really does not want to go against Megan James. He's like, he's in love with James. He really likes hanging out with them. He really trusts them. Ever since they kept Vanessa together, that was like a big like thing for them to do together, to go against Becky. He's really trusted them. And he doesn't want to go against them. However, Julia is the force that says, I want James out. I could even want James out this week. I don't want Austin to protect Megan James. So it could go either way. I definitely see Austin being extremely hesitant to want to do anything to James. So I honestly think it's probably like 60-40.
I'm excited. I'm really hoping that J-Mac wins that veto, because it's gonna be some fun times.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Last question here before we wind things down, and it comes from Greg Benty, and he says this season doesn't really have a clear winner like Derek last season. Vanessa was playing good earlier, but got caught. Do you guys agree? Now, earlier in the season, I was comparing Vanessa a little bit to Derek and saying she had some of those qualities in her. Now, I wasn't saying she was as good, but she was like this season's Derek. Now, I've been gotten ripped many times for saying that, and now I retract that statement. But Alex, am I crazy? Was I crazy earlier on to say that Vanessa had some Derek Vlavassar in her?
No, I don't think so. You know, what you're trying to do in that instance is you're trying to give an example for comparison. You know what I mean? And I mean, you've got to pick somebody, right? And I think, you know, a lot of what Vanessa's doing that is good, and make no mistake, she's doing a lot well in there, is the things that Derek did well. It's the, you know, thinking. One thing that Vanessa is clearly doing that I just don't see a lot of other people doing, really putting herself in someone else's shoes. What is their best move if I'm really them and not just if I'm me thinking about them? And that's hard to do. But Vanessa has done it very effectively, and that speaks to why her arguments are so persuasive, because she's already, before she comes to talk to you, she's already thought about what's in your best interest, devoid of her. And that makes her very effective, because she really knows how to speak to, like, how to tell you what you want to hear. And that was something Derek always, always did well. I think, you know, obviously, you know, emotionally, she's, you know, a lot less. She doesn't have the three C's like Rodney talks about, the cool, calm, collective, right? But at the same time, like, you know, Derek was an undercover cop and she's a poker player. They have different backgrounds. They're not the same person, but we can talk about them having similar, you know, similar strong points in their games, like check marks in the pros column, without it being, you know, necessarily apples to apples, right?
Taryn, what do you think about that? I'm with you, Alex, 100%.
Yeah, Vanessa is on an entirely different level strategically. You know, she's trying to explain to Austin earlier today, it doesn't matter what people tell you, it matters what's in their best interest, because they will always do what's in their best interest, which is usually true. And, you know, Austin is not the kind of player that can get somebody to do something that's not in their best interest, to be frank. And so, you know, she's operating on a different level. But socially, she's operating on a lower level, because she just can't connect with these people personally. She just, you know, people don't really like her as a person in there. And that really hurts her. And another thing she's really good at, actually, is her memory is just astounding. She can remember conversations, like very detailed conversations, and she's able to repeat it. And it gives her a lot of credibility when she's able to repeat it in such detail. And she's also able to say, it's actually hurting her a little bit in the Johnny Mac situation, because she knows for a fact that she didn't tell Clay and Shelley about the 8-person deal thing that he claims that she did tell him, because he's mistaken and she knows it didn't happen. So she's adamant that it didn't happen. But so is Johnny Mac, because he thought it happened. So they're both at each other's throats because they're both so sure. But in most scenarios, especially with what happened with Becky, she was able to recall exact conversations with Becky that were so detailed that they were like, this has to be correct. And it was. And I think that's a large part of why she's able to do so well, and why she's able to think so strategically and know what people want want to do, because she remembers every little bit of, oh, this person did this once, so maybe they're going here. So if she could just, you know, do better socially, relate to these people a little better, she'd be, and control her emotions, she'd be a much better player. But as it stands, I think she's very smart, but still not convinced she'll make it all the way.
If we could genetically modify the perfect Big Brother house guest, I think that, yeah, Vanessa's strategic mind would definitely be one of the minds I would want to choose if we were not allowed to choose gods of the game, because, yeah, I'm with you 100%. But yeah, it's just those other areas she's lacking, and that's why she's not going to be ever really a Derek of this season, at least not during Big Brother 17. And that's great for us, because when there is no Derek that's just running the show, it's excellent to watch because we have no idea who's going to win. And speaking of who's going to win, Alex, who you got? Who's going to win Big Brother 17 before we get out of here?
Man, I feel like my answer would have changed like every day this week. This is just that kind of season, you know? At this point, I want to say either Steve or James. I'm going to, you know, it's crazy because Austin was my preseason pick. So it's like, why wouldn't I even stand by that at this point? Right. I was ready to jump off at a week two. And now it's like, oh, should I come back to it? But nah, I'm going to go with Steve. I really liked what I saw from him last night. I really like that there is this side of him that, I mean, you know, last night confirmed to me that he's playing up the social awkwardness. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's got the skills to hang in there and, you know, get to the point where he needs to then rally the individuals against the Austwins, make like a new Exterminators. And if he can do that, I love his odds.
Taryn, what about you? I love Steve as well. I'm hoping for him. I'm not sure if he can, but I love that kid. So I hope he can pull it out. But Taryn, who you got?
First, I want to quickly say about Vanessa's mind. Vanessa's mind with Hayden Moss's personality.
Bam. There perfect. You go.
Nailed it.
As far as winner goes, I think right now the people I have in the top tier, probably I think Liz, James, Steve, and Vanessa have the best shot at the moment. Of those four, I kind of want to give it to Vanessa. I think Steve also has a good shot. So one of those two.
All right. Well, we'll see. We will see. It's going to be fun. There's a month left. And sometimes with Big Brother, it's interesting. With Survivor, the later it goes in the season, the more exciting it gets typically. Whereas Big Brother, early on, it tends to be really exciting. And then towards the end, it kind of fizzles out. But this season, it hasn't really fizzled out yet. It's still exciting. We still have a month left to go in the season. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised regardless of who walks away as the winner of this game. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Big Brother Happy Hour. Again, apologies for the whole situation with John not being able to make today's show. He will hopefully be here next week or in a future episode. I would love to talk to him. I've talked to him back and forth, and he really wants to come on, and he was really apologetic towards all you guys. So he will be on at some point later in the season, and we will have a really fun conversation when that does happen. Taryn, Alex, thank you guys so much for filling in. I really do appreciate it. If you want to follow these guys on Twitter, I mean, and who am I kidding? You probably already do. You can. If you're not, though, I mean, you have to. You're an idiot if you don't, like me on Big Brother Canada 3. You must follow these guys. Taryn on Twitter is at Armstrong Taryn. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. I am at Jordan Parhar if you want to follow any of us. Okay, guys, we need a hashtag for this episode. You guys have any ideas?
I was thinking maybe a disappointing duo because they got us instead of John.
No. Stop. The self-deprecation is for me only, Taryn. You're not allowed to use that, my friend. I was thinking Bowser, hashtag Bowser, hashtag Bowser Jr. I think that might be.
Yeah, that would be good. Or different castle or something along those lines, right?
Different castle. I think, how about that? Different castle. Hashtag like different castle. So if you want to let us know what you thought of this episode of the Happy Hour, tweet us and using the hashtag different castle. If you want to support the show, you can do so by subscribing to the Big Brother Happy Hour on iTunes. Just go to robhazawebsite.com/happyhour. That is happy hour with an R at the front. You can also subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups, where you can find this show, plenty of other friends of Rob Has a Podcast talking about various other reality TV shows like The Amazing Race Canada, Bachelor in Paradise, Big Brother UK when it's on, lots of different stuff. So I would definitely recommend you check that out as well. And if you want to support me in particular, you can leave a review for this show on iTunes. If you just go to, again, robhazawebsite.com/rehappyhour. And for everybody who leaves a review at the end of the season, I will do a 30-minute Skype call with one person. I'm going to just throw a bunch of names in a hat, pull one out, and that person, the lucky or unlucky person, I guess if you want to put it that way, because, hey, winning a Skype call with me, not really that great, but it's all that I can offer. That will be great, and hopefully you guys really enjoy that and leave a review. I've been getting lots lately, so I'm really appreciative of that, and that means a lot. So thank you very much. One last thing, though, before we get out of here, and I don't think we've had really a chance to talk about this with either of you guys. Alex, this is the first time we've actually talked on a podcast before. Taryn, you and I have been on some shows before together already. But I just wanted to ask you guys, and I'm sure some of the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast want to know, what's it been like adjusting from not being a live feed correspondent to now being thrown into the limelight to being on Rob Has a Podcast? Both of you guys have been listeners before. How exciting and thrilling has it been for you guys to be able to do this? Taryn, let's go with you first.
It's incredibly exciting. I've always listened, and I always listened to the Big Brother podcast, and I always thought, you know, like I could totally do that. I honestly don't do much different watching the feeds wise. I always made sure I was caught up on everything because I always wanted to make sure that I was right when I wrote my opinion online. it's been crazy. You know, it's so fun. I actually made my Twitter account in order to submit the application video. And now I have, like, you know, over 1,000 people that talk to me about Big Brother all the time. And it's so much fun. I just had someone from my college just, you know, talk to me, say, like, hey, are you Taryn from RJP? We graduated together. I was like, whoa,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's sick. All right, Alex, what about you, man?
Yeah, it's really been unbelievable, man. It's so surreal. I'm really thankful for the opportunity. It's just been very cool. You know, it's a fun ride that I'm just excited to be on. It's crazy to me, like Taryn was talking about, to have people, you know, hitting you up on Twitter and say, like, wow, I'm a big fan of yours. Like, what have I done? Like, how do I have fans? Like, in what world do I deserve a fan? Like, this is bizarre, but I'm just really, really appreciative. It's a wonderful experience, and you guys are great. It's great getting to talk Big Brother with guys who really just get the game, who really have, like, you know, fresh, fun things to say about it. And I just couldn't be happier, man.
Yeah. I want to say, too, just one thing. I completely expected the second I came on this podcast to be totally hated and have so many people say terrible things about me all the time, because that's what happens on the internet. And the RHAP community has been so unbelievably kind to me and to all of us. And it just, I'm so grateful and thankful. You guys are the best. You know, don't ever change. Have a great summer.
Absolutely. Second.
Yeah, we love all you bays out there, seriously. And I agree with you guys 100%. And I just think it's cool that all of us are kind of going through this experience at the same time. Although we come from different backgrounds and stuff, but we've all been huge RHAP fans and fans of Big Brother. And now we get to talk about it and have people tweet us about it and all this stuff. And it's just amazing and it's great. And I just love it so much. And I just wanted to give you guys a platform to talk about that a little bit, because you haven't really had the chance, at least I don't think so, on the podcast. So thank you guys so much again for joining me, and excellent job as always. You guys are great. You're awesome. And I'm so glad that I've got you guys to DM on Twitter and say, hey, John's not going to be able to make the show, so can you please join me in as I'm panicking? So seriously, means the world to me, guys. I really do appreciate it. And let's do this again sometime. Let's do this hopefully towards the end of the season. I'm sure somebody else will probably bail on me, or in the off season we can do some Big Brother podcast or something like that. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be great. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, for Taryn Armstrong and Alex Kidwell, my name is Jordan Parhar. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you later. #DifferentCastle. Peace out. See ya.